Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy. Recording is 2:32 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is February 10th, and I thought I'd kick off with UK yields because they're really popping on the upside, up 50% in really just the last 6 weeks, and back in the region of the peak from back in 2018. So now also the 200-day moving average is back above the 1,000-day moving average, and we haven't seen anything like that since 2008. Now, there were a couple of periods between 2004 and 2008 when that did occur, but it was during an inflationary period where we had commodity-led inflation. And part of the reason why we're seeing yields pop on the upside, and it's not just a US phenomenon, the Bund yield in Germany is also surging higher here. That's an extremely impressive upward dynamic. Last week, follow through on the upside. This week, straight through the zero bound. So the quantity of debt that's outstanding with negative yields is continuing to contract. And then we can think about Japan, because they've been running a yield curve control suite of policies for quite a long time, and it's looking increasingly likely that they're abandoning it. The 10-year JGB yield is now up to nearly 23 basis points. So they've also clearly stated that they were going to be defending the 10 basis point level, and there's no sign of it yet. So yields are marching higher everywhere. And then we can think about somewhere like Australia, where the RBA has ended its quantitative or its yield curve control policy. Really, I think it's less than a year after they deployed it, and the yield now is up to about 2%, and that's also coinciding with where the lows were back in 2016. Now, if we then just think about what's going on in the USA, well, the 10-year yield was up 10 basis points today, and it cleared the 2% level. So we're now well and truly back above the 1.5% area, back inside the overhead trading range, and still marching higher in a dynamic manner. So we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the potential that yields are going to get up and test that 3% level again, which of course is another 50% advance from here. But they're not going to get there without interest rate hikes. And there's a lot of people beginning to price in the potential, almost a 50% potential at this stage, that the first interest rate hike will be 50 basis points. And you had one of the Fed chairs, Bullard, in here today saying that he wants interest rates to be 1% by July. So that would be 2 50% or 50 basis point increases. And the 3-month yield is beginning to wake up. So it's now up to 37 basis points, up 10 in here today. So 3-month yields, until about 6 weeks ago, weren't willing to price in the potential for interest rate hikes at all. And in the space of just this week, they've priced in a full interest, a quarter point interest rate hike, and well on the way to pricing in 50 basis points. One thing that I find particularly interesting right now is that the TED spread is almost negative. So what we've seen in here is a really swift advance in short interest rate in government paper, 3-month government paper, and almost no movement at all in LIBOR. And of course, this is an interesting situation as well, because LIBOR rates are moving higher, but they're not moving higher at nearly the same pace that the government rate is. So this spread is almost negative, which would suggest that banks are a better credit than the government. Now, usually it's this spread going the opposite direction, where you're seeing credit being restricted to the financial sector at and then the yield expanding rapidly. That contributes to strife in the banking sector and contributes to lower growth overall and less credit growth. But now banks are being afforded really quite accommodative rates. Even if the absolute level is rising, they're certainly not paying a premium for getting credit. And I think it's an odd situation, particularly when LIBOR is supposed to be retired. But we're just not at that point yet. And the SOFR 3-month rate, it really isn't something that's pricing particularly well in here. But one thing is for sure is that it's at 29 basis points. So the SOFR rate is trading at 6 basis points less than government. And this is an extraordinary circumstance. So what it also helps to highlight is that there's a lot of risk in inflation for governments. And this is beginning to take a tax out of growth. Now, one thing I think is interesting is that inflation is popping on the upside. So central banks have some decisions to make. They want to try and bring down inflation. So how do you do that? Well, the first would be that you can hit sentiment. So if people are going to be less enthusiastic about the prospects for their money to improve or their monetary situation to improve over the next 6 months, then they'll curtail spending, and that would bring down inflation. So we're beginning to see some of that. They're pressuring the stock market. So there hasn't been any evidence of the Federal Reserve stepping in to support the stock market. And with yields marching higher, well, it's obviously asking big questions about the sustainability of government debt in particular. So the S&P 500 is pulling back from the lower side of this overhead trading range. And we're still in a corrective environment overall. So there's the real potential that we're going to be in for a deeper process of consolidation. And then I think it's also particularly interesting what the Federal Reserve said about their intentions of running off the balance sheet, because they basically said that they don't want to hold mortgage bonds anymore, which would suggest that they will sell the mortgage bonds first, or that they will give preference to sales of mortgage bonds relative to treasuries. But of course, that will also put upward pressure on mortgage rates. And if we spread the mortgage rate over the treasury, well, we're up around 200 basis points. And that's about as high as it gets outside of really panicky situations. So we can just look at the period in 2008 and again during the pandemic, where mortgage rates surged higher relative to yields. But right about this level is generally where the spread tends to limit. So mortgage rates have already priced in interest rate hikes, and they've priced in some inflation. And things will have to get worse in terms of inflation before this rate is going to pop on the upside from here. But it's also cutting into demand for housing, and of course shelter, and the imputed rate of shelter is a big constituent or a component of how inflation is measured. So the most interest rate sensitive portions of the market are going to be most susceptible to some additional selling. The Nasdaq 100 was down 370 points in here today, and pulling back from the 15,000 level and the region of the 200-day simple moving average, but most importantly finding or encountering resistance in the region of the lower side of the overhead trading range. So this is a first step below the peak. And we have type 2 top formation characteristics. It's quite likely to see some ranging following the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And it looks like we've seen the short-term extent of that rebound. So I think this is important action that we're starting to see in here. And the Russell 2000, having also bounced over the course of the last 2 weeks, has begun to encounter resistance in the region of that lower side of the overhead trading range as well. Now, when we think about commodity prices, the LME Metals Index is pushing on the upside, and it was at a new high yesterday. But with inflationary pressures rising and the potential for that to eat into speculative fervor, then it might be rather difficult for some of these rallies to be sustained. So, for example, the copper price popped on the upside in here earlier on today, but is actually finishing in negative territory, so not quite able to hold on to the initial advance. Gold prices were also in positive territory for most of the day and then gave up a lot of it towards the end of the day. But it's also, I think, worth considering that we've had a modest but persistent advance over the last couple of weeks. So we're back in the upper side of this range and testing the $1,850 area. And it's another test of that area that is likely to give way to some pause. And oil prices were also a little softer for most of the day in here today as well. So pausing around the $90 area. And as we look at the chart overall, well, we have a short-term overbought condition. So it wouldn't be that surprising if we see some consolidation in here. We're still in an environment where demand for commodities remains robust overall. But with interest rates rising, it's likely to represent a short-term headwind. So anything that's got a short-term overbought condition, it does look like we're going to see it unwound. And with bond yields rising, well, that put some initial downward pressure on the dollar today. But then with more of a risk-off environment coming through, then it recouped most of its loss. So we've had quite a volatile day in currencies. Now, when we look around the world, you've got Singapore with its financial heavy index popping on the upside over the course of the last 2 weeks. So that's a new recovery high. And we're coming back into the upper side of this range that's been forming now for more than 10 years. And we had a really quite impressive move in Malaysia over the last couple of weeks as well. So the Kuala Lumpur composite is bouncing from the lows put in over the last 18 months. Markets like Vietnam are still really quite firm, and they've seen exports improving substantially over the course of the pandemic, and that remains a really quite consistent trend overall. And despite the fact that oil prices are very steady and rising, the Nifty in Japan, excuse me, in India, has been really quite steady as well. Now, when we think about Japan, obviously we've got JGB yields that are marching higher, and the Nikkei is now back in the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. So if Wall Street fails here, then it's reasonable to anticipate that Japan might do the same. And with JGB yields rising, well, that's also putting downward pressure on the yen. And of course, Japan has got this massive debt-to-GDP ratio, and they really can't afford higher rates. So we're in an odd situation here. So Japan might in fact be welcoming inflation, and they might be willing to tolerate inflationary pressures in order to kick-start speculative activity. But obviously then the yen is going to be a big determinant of just how weak the stock market will be in nominal terms. But this continues to look like an orderly consolidation, having broken what was a six-year downtrend. And despite the fact that China has announced a raft of support measures for the stock market, We haven't really had fireworks. We've had a good size rebound over the course of the last few days, and the renminbi has been steadier, so certainly strengthening against the dollar in here today. But what we really need to see from Chinese assets is sustained rebounds, and rising interest rates and the pressure that that puts on the growth sector and the more interest rate sensitive portions of the market, well, that could potentially retard some of the more speculative activity. So Alibaba, for example, was off its highs in here today and still pausing. We're going to get to a point where people are going to start arguing again about whether we're in a cyclical or secular commodity bull market. Well, when we think about the cyclical arguments, it's primarily about the pandemic and the shortages and disruptions to labor that have contributed to demand growth and an inability of supply to respond in a timely manner. And that's contributed to inflation and also contributed to demand growth for commodities. And that when all of that ends, then commodities would come back down. But then we also have the other side of that equation, where there is the potential for significant demand growth coming through from renewable energy, and then also supply disruptions to commodities or less reliable ability to either mine in jurisdictions or to get agricultural products to market because of climate variability. It was certainly evident today that having surged on the upside, soybeans has at least paused in here. Then, if we're thinking about rising bond yields and the type of effect that that has on speculative activity, one thing I also thought was interesting today was the fact that Hermes has pulled back below the 200-day moving average. So we had a very clear acceleration in the latter half, or I guess the latter quarter of last year. And now it's unwound all of that, and we're back below the 200-day moving average. Now, Hermes is the kind of stock that doesn't spend much time below the 200-day moving average. And if it continues to fall from here, well, then that really will be indicative of less demand growth and less demand for more speculative assets. And obviously, the price has gone up an awful lot over the course of the last 2 years. And if we're moving into a less growth dominated market, then there's the potential that this acceleration is going to give way to a lengthy period of consolidation for some of these luxury goods companies. And at the other side of that, then there's the kinds of companies that would benefit from rising inflationary pressures and demand for anything that would support easier or cheaper production. So fertilizers and robotics should do well in that kind of inflationary environment where companies want to reduce their costs and also reduce their reliance on labor. So I think we are moving again into a risk-off environment. And the asset that has rebounded most impressively of those risk assets has been Bitcoin. And it was up about $600 today, and it's closing out the day down about $500. So having rebounded back above that 40,000 level, that was a very encouraging sign. But it's going to have to hold it. And I think it is likely now that we're going to at least come back and test that 40,000 level. And then we'll see whether it can in fact hold it. If it does, well, then that's likely to be a lead indicator for the wider speculative market in stocks. So, but I do think that we are in more of a risk-off environment, so perhaps we should anticipate that there will be surprises on the downside. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.